Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I am Mike Palaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, where we cover the Steelers 24/7 while connecting you, the Steeler fans, together in an effort to raise money for Children's Hospital. Tonight, with me from Steel City Underground, another site that I also work for, is Brian Roach. How are you doing tonight, Brian?
Mike, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Not bad. Excited to get the win this past Sunday, although it wasn't the prettiest. We'll come out of there 1-0. We'll take it. And getting ready for
absolutely.
Vikings week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. As Vince Williams tweeted out today, I'll take an ugly win over a beautiful loss any day.
I couldn't agree more. You know, when you go on the road in the AFC North, as Ben Roethlisberger likes to say, even though it's Cleveland, I mean, it's a tough division, it's a rivalry no matter what, you get the win, you take it, and quite frankly, Ben owns the state of Ohio, and he kept that up.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're the winningest quarterback in another team's stadium, I think it's fair enough to say you own them.
Absolutely. Hopefully they can do that in Cincinnati when they go down there later this year, but... You know, we'll see the Browns again later this year. I actually surprisingly was impressed by what Kaiser did for them. I did not expect that. I didn't see it coming. It was a little bit of a shock to me, but, the Steelers at the end of the day got it done.
Yeah, you know, he played well, but he certainly was the beneficiary of some ill-timed penalties on the Steelers' part. And what impressed me, though, is that young defense. You got a lot of youth in that defense and a lot of draft picks tied up in that defense, and they were fast, which you couldn't help but notice that they were a much improved unit. They were really fast. And unlike a lot of teams when you're dealing with youth, they didn't make a lot of mistakes. It was kind of impressive. The Browns looked to be heading in the right direction, unfortunately.
And that's probably the first time anybody said that in the last 18 years since they came back to Cleveland. But they do. They do look like they might be somebody we have to reckon with down the line. Maybe not this year, but in the coming years, they finally look like they might have some stability there. Hopefully not, but one game into this season, they look like that could be the case. You know, but we have some youth, too. And, T.J. Watt... He came up with about as good a game as you could ask for in your opener. I mean, how'd you feel about that? Two sacks, a pick, seven tackles, the tie for the team lead. I couldn't have been more impressed with him either.
And coming against Joe Thomas, I mean, I know that the first sack, which was really more of a coverage sack, but still, somebody's got to make that play, and T.J. Watt was there to do it. And when you go back and you look at the replay of that specific sack, you know, Thomas has him, and then T.J. does a kind of a spin around to come back in, and you just see the motor. And that's even more of it on the second sack, where he's fighting off a tight end, a running back, then the tight end again, and just keeps motoring after Kaiser and finally gets him. I was impressed with how well he played against a perennial all-pro tackle in Joe Thomas. I didn't really think before the game that he was going to be able to get a sack on that side of the line. I thought that there's a chance they might flip him the way they did some in the preseason, and maybe he'd get a sack going against the other side. But he was so effective that James Harrison got like four snaps the entire game.
You know, I was just going to say the same thing. I mean, when you can play like that and you keep Harrison on the sideline for, I believe you're right, four snaps the entire game, I mean, that's saying something. And quite frankly, that is benefiting this team, obviously, in the opener, but long-term, too, because the more they can rest Harrison now, the fresher he'll be down the stretch and ideally into the playoffs when this team is ready to hopefully make a Super Bowl run. So, I mean, what one game in, you just could not have asked for anything better than that.
Absolutely not. I agree with you completely.
So let's see if he can do that again leading into this week. I mean, they're playing the Vikings, right? The Monday night game, the Vikings looked really good offensively, specifically. Sam Bradford came out slinging the ball all over, more so than I actually expected him to do so. I thought he would come out kind of like he used to play for the Rams almost. They had a good running game. They held Breeze relatively in check to a little under 300 yards defensively. So when I first looked at the schedule, I thought this was an automatic win. I still think the Steelers should win this game, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as I originally thought. What do you think about this weekend coming up?
I'll tell you, you know, the Vikings were beneficiaries of a bad defense in the sense that the Saints have a bad defense. they had a bad defense this year, and based on what we saw last night, they don't look much better. It's unfortunate for Drew Brees that, you know, he's doesn't have that full team to support him. But I think that is in part why Bradford looks so good. I think being in the offense for a second year helps him for sure. And then, you know, that rookie running back, Dalvin Cook, guy looks good. I think what Latavius Murray, who they had last year and who's still there, he only got a couple snaps because, once again, Cook is performing so well in that game. Why would you go to a backup? And, you know, if they have that kind of a consistent running game, then certainly Sam Bradford has the ability to be patient if he has time. And it'll be interesting because, you know, you were talking about TJ, and he goes from Joe Thomas to, I think, Riley Reif. I'm not sure I'm saying his last name right, but I don't have to because I'm not a Vikings fan. but, you know, Riley, you know, that's another, this is a six-year veteran.
Absolutely, you know. And
a decent quality lineman, and that's going to be a tough challenge to follow up on Joe Thomas with.
Completely agree, and it'll be interesting to see if the Steelers are able to get the pressure that they were able to apply this past weekend, with the seven sacks. I don't anticipate they'll get that much, but I anticipate they'll try to bring it as often as they did. I think you're 100% correct. You know, Bradford benefited from a weaker defense, and the Steelers should have a much stronger defense than the Saints. But I don't think the Steelers will get to Bradford quite as often as they got to Kaiser. So that means that the secondary may be tested even more so this week. And, I still think that unit's up in the air. I like what we have back there. I was happy that they added Hayden. He didn't look great, admittedly, this first week. But they're going to be tested this week. That's my anticipation. I think that they'll actually be able to contain Cook through the running game. But I do have some concerns in the air, even with Brees coming off. I said Brees again, but Bradford coming off a game against a weaker defense. Do you feel our secondary is going to be able to step up? Specifically right now, I'm going to ask you about Hayden coming off of week one, the way they looked.
Well, the thing, you know, Hayden didn't have a bad game. He had what looked like a worse game because, you know, the problem is that the safety help when they were in cover two, and Hayden is allowing that streak receiver to go by him because he's assuming he has safety help and the safety help doesn't show up. Well, that's not really Joe Hayden's fault. He's playing the coverage it's called, and the safety, and at that time I'm pretty sure it might have been J.J. Wilcox, but it could have been Mike Mitchell, broke down on that play. The one play that I'm thinking of where Hayden let the receiver go by because he was a streak player, and he was wide open. I will say it'll be interesting. It's another week of practice. These guys take time to gel. Communication is such an issue in the secondary. You know, it wasn't last year, but I think it was the year before when we opened with the Patriots and we all were cringing. You know, the other thing about this is while I think the tackle positions for the Vikings offensive line are solid, they're weak in the middle. And I only say that because while I'm a Buckeye, you know, and Pat Elfine is their center. He's a rookie center from Ohio State. It's not that he's a bad center, but I think Javon Hargrave is going to eat his lunch, quite frankly. Pat Elfine's never played against anybody like Javon Hargrave. Hargrave has such a quick step, and I will not be at all surprised if Bradford is not frustrated throughout this game by Hayward and Hargrave pressing on Easton and Elfine. And if that happens, he will not have a comfortable pocket. And I think one thing that Bradford has shown is if he's not comfortable, he makes mistakes.
Well, there's no question. And that's been the story of his career. You know, he obviously probably had the best year of his career last year. And you know, he's, like you said, in the offense for a second consecutive season now. So maybe he's coming into his own a little bit, but there's definitely an opportunity for this team to rattle him, push him into mistakes. I mean, he's definitely one that's capable of throwing a couple of picks and throwing them back-to-back possessions, because he can get rattled, and that's exactly what this team needs to do. I mean, if they can take him out of the game and then they stop Cook, which I fully anticipate they'll do with you know, the run defense that they've displayed, you know, the Steelers have a real opportunity not only to halt the Vikings defense or offense, but set their offense up with the shorter fields this coming weekend, which they weren't necessarily able to do every possession this past weekend against the Browns. And I think that will be a huge key to success. That said,
I couldn't agree with you more.
Absolutely that. And I think it goes without saying, but we'll say it anyway, the penalties have to cease, at least limited. They cannot have another 13 penalty, 140-plus yards worth of penalties again. I mean, that's exactly why the Browns stayed in the game, and they can't allow that to happen again. That has to get rectified. And Tomlin came out this week already and mentioned it. I mean, it's obviously on the radar. It seems to me that this is something that is not just a unique one-time thing. We've seen it over the years. And they have to stop that right now. They have to.
Absolutely. A lot of people are speculating that this has to do with the fact that the starters don't get a lot of play in the preseason. They don't get a lot of time together. And that is, in fact, true. We can't question that. They get some practice time during practice, but they play very few reps. They just don't get a lot of time. And what we see year after year after year, with maybe the exception of last year's Redskins game where they came out and performed pretty well, is we have these kind of slide games where it takes them time to get in sync. And that's how they look to me. They just looked out of sync. They looked like their cohesion wasn't there, their communication wasn't there. And other than the synchronicity that always seems to exist between Ben and AB, it just wasn't there with anybody else. And it's going to take some time for Ben to learn the nuances of the other receivers, to get back in tune with Martavis. But we'll see. And you're right. The penalties just have to stop. You can let Juju Smith-Schuster slide on those two holding penalties because he's a rookie, but he needs to learn from them and not make those same mistakes moving forward.
Absolutely, and you're right. You know, there's a learning curve with the rookies, but that has to be something that they take out of the game. They got the win, and now he specifically needs to learn from those two penalties and move on. And it's not to say he'll never get another one again, but ideally he picked up his lesson and he limits those at a minimum. And you kind of spoke to it, and I agree there's some cohesiveness that still needs to happen there as far as gelling. I don't think that the Steelers want to admit it. I don't think Le'Veon Bell wants to admit it. But I did think that part of his lack of performance, besides the two holding penalties that called back two of his better runs, was that he did miss all of the offseason. And I understand it. I'm okay with it. They still won. But I think it's going to take him a little bit of time to get back into that football shape, as they call it, as well. I expect a better performance this week. But, I think we have to wait 2-3, maybe even 4 games before he's the old Le'Veon. What do you think?
I agree. The thing that concerned me the most was not his running. It was tough sledding, and that's a good defense. But he dropped passes that he doesn't normally drop. It was clear that he just wasn't comfortable in the same way that he normally would be had he been in practice all of preseason, had he been in camp, had he been taking throws from Ben and whoever else was going to throw. But that was what really stood out to me, was the drops, because that's not what we expect from him. He's got great hands, and generally he doesn't do a lot of drop passes, but he dropped a couple passes in that game that had he caught, he might have had a few more yards. You can't fault him for runs being called back because of penalty. And I think if those two runs had been added in, he all of a sudden is 70, 80 yards. And against that Browns front that was basically stacking the box and saying, go ahead and try and run on us, that wouldn't have been a bad evening. You're absolutely right. They're never going to say it was a mistake for him to hold out at this point. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, that's why it's this way. But, and it may not be 100% of it. certainly the penalties didn't help, but there's something to that. You know, there is something to taking the reps, doing the work, and gelling with the group that, you know, he missed. And it's just going to take time for him to get it back.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll see if he takes the next step this week coming up. You know, ideally, he had his rust game. He practices a little bit more. Maybe we see some improvement, and then we go from there. But time will tell. I mean, I don't have any concerns about him long term. I do wonder, you know, if it'll take him the month, as I mentioned. But we'll certainly find out. And it'd be nice to see James Conner get a few more carries. In the meantime, you know, I actually thought he could have had a few more. He didn't get as many as I thought, although they didn't run the ball as much as I thought they would either, quite honestly. But it'll be interesting because they came out this week and they already said that their game plan is to run the ball more, is not throw as much as they did this past game. So it'll be interesting to see what they do against the Vikings. I expect a little bit more of a run-heavy offense, and I actually think that's going to be a key as well. I'd like to get your thoughts on that because they did lose a time of possession battle against Cleveland. I don't think they want to do that again this week.
No, definitely don't want to do that, and I will be quite content to not see a bubble screen happen until late in the game, considering the number of short passes and bubble screens that Ben threw at the beginning of that Browns game. The thing that always worries me when we have a game like this where all of a sudden the mentality coming out of the front office and the coaching staff is we have to run more is that in the past, the Steelers have sometimes shown, and Haley and maybe even Coach Tomlin, have shown a tad bit of inflexibility once they've decided that's what they're going to do. So, you know, I can remember a couple of games last season that were like that, where we tried to do a lot of fancy schmancy short passes, bubble screens, quick out stuff, and it didn't work so well. Next week we're going to run, and we tried that, and it didn't work because, of course, we told everybody we were going to run, and they stopped it. As long as they are willing to adapt, I agree. I think they need to be more run heavy. I think it will be interesting to get somebody like Terrell Watson in the game in short yardage situations as opposed to Le'Veon to give that kind of change of pace that they haven't really had. I think James Conner will be an asset. He certainly was adequate and looked like he belonged during the series that he did play. They can run the ball, and they need to get the line, because the line did a decent job pass protecting. What they didn't do is run block very well. And so they need to focus on that and get those reps in to help the line get back to the level that they've been at before.
Absolutely. Completely agree with that. In about a minute or less, what are your top two keys for this game coming up against the Vikings?
One of them is the same that I had for this game, the Browns game, which is mental mistakes. Don't beat yourselves. They tried real hard to do it against the Browns, and luckily we're able to avoid that, but they've got to do that against the Vikings. They cannot have those penalties. They cannot commit turnovers. They cannot have all those bad lapses. On top of that, it's seeing if the pressure continues. I really think Hargrave and Hayward could be key in this game to overpowering what is a not bad Vikings offensive line.
Absolutely, and you must have been reading my mind because those were my top two. I said that one as well as far as the mental mistakes against the Browns, but those two already on the books. I'll take two others. I will say that the defense not only, of course, needs to get the pressure, but they need to apply field position for the offense to stop giving them the long fields. I think that'll be very beneficial. And then I'll just say mixing in the run game a little bit more, trying to balance that out so Ben doesn't have to do everything. And whether it's Connor or Bell or whomever carrying the ball, trying to get the time possession back the positive way so they can control the clock a little bit more and put up more points, hopefully.
Absolutely. Also two good points. You know, it's an interesting interesting weekend. It's the home opener. It's kind of a Steelers-centric ish weekend because on Saturday, TSE, you know, who is a partner now of Steel City Underground, as well as who you work with in your charity endeavors, they've got a big signing this weekend with a lot of the Steelers rookies, with James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster, Brian Allen. I'm going to be there at that signing. It's so, you know, if you're a Steelers fan, this is a great weekend for Steelers football. You got the home opener, you got a big signing at TSE. It could be a fun weekend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good point. They're going to have a big signing. They're going to have a bunch of them all year, the mall at Robinson. So definitely check them out. And check out Steel City Underground, Steel Nation Association. And we'll be here, of course, all season long, but really all year long. So I'm going to wrap it up tonight. Thank Brian from SteelCityUnderground.com. I'm Mike Palaya of SteelNationAssociation.com. We'll talk to you next week.